El sábado, on Saturday, right before that, we have East Meets West, which is a Cajun cultural festival, and it's going to take place at Pope John II Park in Dorchester, and it will start at 10 a.m. and it ends at 4 p.m. on both Saturday and Sunday, the 11th and the 12th, and the theme is centered around people who have been afflicted by natural calamities from earthquakes, cyclones, and flooding throughout the world.
Esto en español, el East Meets West, el este encuentra con el oeste, es un festival de cometas de y cultura que va a ser el sábado y el domingo en el Papa John Paul II Parque en Dorchester. Comienza a las 10 de la mañana y termina a las 4 de la tarde en los dos días. Tratará sobre todo sobre el tema de las personas que han estado afligidos por calamidades naturales como terremotos, ciclones, inundación y pues en todo el mundo.
Another event that we have coming up is at the Casa de la Cultura Center for Latino Arts at 85 West Newton Street. There will be a gallery talk with featured artist Cece Camacho and museum curator Evan Garza on feature work by Latino and Latin American artists whose work evokes new methods and approaches to contemporary art making through the innovative use of their hands.
Y finalmente este anuncio en español, en la Casa de la Cultura y Centro de las Artes Latinas en el 85 West Newton Street va a haber una discusión con el artista Cece Camacho y el conservador de estas obras, Evan Garza, este miércoles, el 15 de octubre, de las 6 a las 8 de la noche. Este evento se llama Hecho a Mano y representará el trabajo de artistas latinos y latinoamericanos, que el trabajo evoca nuevos métodos de arte contemporánea sobre el uso de las manos. Y estos son nuestros anuncios de esta semana.
¿Sabes qué? Esto es increíble, pero tenemos un poquito de tiempo más. Por primera vez podemos terminar con un poquito más de música. Increíble que
ya
sea.
Ya estás.
Vaya, we'll just end with a little more music from the First Nations people here just to round out our show for you. You can catch us again next Friday and every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Stay tuned for music from human beings. I mean, music for human beings, coming up right after this.
Of breath and new eyes. open their mouths for the first time. First spoken words realize, and they call themselves the people of the flesh. Out of the ashes and given light, out of darkness and into the light. Out of the ashes and into life, into life. Out of the ashes and given life, out of darkness and into the light. Out of the ashes and into life, into
prayers of thanksgiving. They sang the first psalms. Mother Earth nurtured them with shelter and medicine. And so began the journey of living and dying, the joys and sorrows of life.
مرحبا من الدكتور جالس السكران to Music for Human. We are starting a little bit late today. Been just enjoying the vibration so much that we felt a little bit bad ruining them. But they got old. I have with me today Lester Woods, ordained light minister.
Good evening.
Welcome, Lester. And Captain Hydrox, captain of the spiritual seas.
Buenos tardes.
Captain Hydrox is also an herbalist from South America.
And if I remember correctly, we are actually bringing back one of the classics, something that we started with a long time ago, and it really is bringing us back full circle. I guess as we, just like everyone else, we're getting into the swing of things with the cooler weather now, with fall and the changing colors. And, you know, I think it's a good time to be stepping back and setting things in motion again.
Course, and with the, it's sort of a karma thing, really, right? This idea of circular motion, circular sort of oscillation, bringing back things that we'd forgotten.
Yes, I believe so. And if there isn't something we haven't forgotten, maybe even tonight we could bring up a few topics of, say, fruit.
Yeah, fruit is a really... Well, you see, that I think is an excellent metaphor for the karmic vibration, right? Because the fruit is a very circular thing, even though it, you know, the fruit contains within it the all the information required to produce a tree or a flower or a person or fairies, and these in turn contain all of the information required to produce the fruit. And it's like a karma. It's like when you do something nice to someone, you are showing them how to be nice.
Right. And along with that, what you're just saying, it the layers of the fruit, it really elucidates these inner chakra levels. In each stage in the process, you can see one after another forming. I never actually looked at it that way before.
Hmm. Well, we have our first caller, the first fruit, so to speak, of telling the number last week. Let us see if the operator can connect the lines there. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks. I'm having a problem with the change of weather. I'm thinking that my chakras have reversed direction, and I don't know if I'm eating the right kind of fruit or not. And I don't know which direction they should spin and which type of fruit that I should eat to get them to move in the direction that would be beneficial to my well-being.
You know, that's interesting. It's really a lot like the Heinz uncertainty principle. You know, you can stop one and take a look at it, and oftentimes if you take a look, you can either be spinning right around and you don't know where you are, you're a little disoriented, you start counting numbers, trying to write down color names. It's hard to say where the chakras really do fit in when the change of season comes about, because, you know, oftentimes the poles are vacillating between being north and south or south and north.
Yeah, that seems to be what my confusion is. I think the magnetism of my chakras is a little bit affected by this, and I was also thinking that the tomato is a fruit. And I think of the tomato as a vegetable, but I've been eating lots of tomato-type foods. And I was wondering how this would affect my relationship to my body and to my chakras and to the universe.
Well, the tomato is a really confused creature because biologically it is a fruit, but nutritionally it is a vegetable.
That's it doesn't taste like fruit, sure.
It does not. Like a banana is very rich in sugar, but a vegetable like the dandelion is rich in fat and starch. And that is the distinction. So the result of eating too much tomato can be a muddled chakra due to this uncertainty in nomenclature. But it's really, you know, nothing to do with the tomato itself. The tomato clearly doesn't care whether it is referred to as a fruit or a vegetable by different parties, no matter how educated they might be. But it's really up to you to regard the tomato as an animal without needing to place it in any of these categories.
You know, actually, caller, I had one, that reminded me of one other question. I'm not sure where exactly you are right now, where you're calling from, but I grew up in the Midwest, and at least there, the tomato definitely was a fruit. Maybe it's geographically tied. I'm not sure what the relationship is, but I feel like it's a different species. It's just really small and sweet.
That's right. It's very confusing because I know my vibration is affected by fruit, but in consciousness, it's very hard to think of the tomato as the fruit that it is. So there might be some cognitive dissonance here.
Well, one thing that I might suggest is briefly, for the sake of your, since you are comfortable with regarding the tomato as a vegetable, to improve this second aspect of the dual nature of the tomato, I recommend perhaps preparing a fruit salad containing a great deal of tomato, or also eating cherry tomatoes, which is a further compounded, you know, sort of to compound the confusion there, that it's, you know, a cherry and also a tomato.
You know, one other thing I was thinking about, caller, is if you have been suffering a lot from the compound side effects of tomato consumption, one thing you could look at is an alternative, really a combative force in these arenas, and that might be, say, spirulina, or maybe you haven't been getting enough alfalfa or barley. Those are three really good complex compounds that can help to minimize and abate any sort of, I don't know, trioxidized nitrogens, or, you know, whatever else it is that's going on inside of you.
I would like also to get, if we could get the opinion of Captain Hydrox here, because Hydrox is an expert in these phenomena. Captain Hydrox, I know that in South America, to treat this sort of imbalance, they will often recommend a great deal of rosemary and other herbs to the user.
Speak about the tomato, because the tomato sometimes is confused, like it's trying to be a grape, as grape tomatoes and like pear tomatoes. And about the change in the weather, because it's cold now here, the tomato that you eat comes from the southern hemisphere, so maybe in the southern hemisphere it's regarded as a fruit.
Ah.
It's sweeter than.
So it's sort of a Coriolis effect, like the spin of the tomato in the southern, like the toilet bowl, the southern hemispherical tomato.
Right, that's interesting. It must have kept that permanent magnet shape while even through transport and freezing and all of the other things that had undergone the tomato in its time.
So then, according to the observation of Captain Hydrox, you might try eating natively grown tomatoes.
think that's a really good suggestion.
Caller one, hello? Looks like we may have lost caller one. Fortunately, we have a second caller.
He went to look for his tomato
sources. Caller two, you are on the air.
Hey, y'all, it's Randy Taylor. Sorry it's been so long since I called. Man, I have been crazy busy. What y'all been up to?
Well, thank you, Randy. You know, I've been really just following the recent economic twisty-turvy that has been occurring here.
Oh, man. Lord, tipsy-turvy ain't even the word I would use, but I'm on a radio station, so I'm going to try to keep it PG-13. But let me tell y'all something. My wife is so ill with me right now. What turned out to be my last paycheck a couple weeks ago wound up getting spent on crystals, and man, she is so sore about it. I got her standing over the welfare line right now, but she should be home in a minute. But,
oh, no.
Well, I tell y'all what, you know, it is tough being spiritual when you got an economy like this. I mean, I don't care what that Paulson lunatic says, but I mean, I'm trying to stay self-disciplined through this, and it's just making me nuts. Y'all got any advice for me? Shoot.
You know, maybe you could try to change her, I guess, affection for amethyst onto maybe one of the more commodity crystals available on the market today.
Like what?
I would recommend paste, you know, just a glass is very nice.
Right.
Of course, it does not bear the same sort of solemnity that precious gems would. But
right. You don't have the same emissivity as you do in other things. If that doesn't get her, one other thing you could try is iron pyrite.
Oh, that's a thought. That sounds kind of fancy. What is that?
You know, it's... God, I'd be a fool for saying it, but it's actually a very precious form of refuse that comes out of the mines, and it really does... Yeah. You know, I don't know how it does it, but I think it's because of the permanent magnet properties in it. It really does help align your chakras, whether or not you've been, as we just mentioned earlier with the caller number one who was calling about the inverse Coriolis effect tomatoes that he had been suffering from. You know, I'm not sure if it might also appel these rapid kind of economic differences and gradients that we've seen recently here in our life.
Well, I mean, I have to tell you, I am so glad you mentioned the C word, that being chakra, because let me tell you something. I was trying to talk to my wife about this rationally a couple weeks ago, which is next to impossible. I was like, look, sugar, you have got to get the chakraic stuff down. That's what all these people keep telling me. That's what the gurus I'm talking to are trying to talk to me about, and you just ain't listening. I mean, I know she's a Christian woman and everything, and I ain't trying to tee her off too much, because God knows we got enough crap going on around the house with all this money stuff. But I told her, I'm like, look, if you get that stuff straightened out, everything's going to be fine. I mean, it's not going to mean we're going to have $1 million in the bank or anything, but your outlook on life is going to change, and shoot, she'll probably be a much easier person to live with. God, I hope she's not listening to this right now. But I'll tell you something. She is just so torn up about the fact that the last $100 we had went to these crystals. I'm like, well, look, honey, I can't read minds. I don't see into the future. Otherwise, I'd probably get a guest shot on Dionne Warwick's Psychic Friends Network trying to make some money. I mean, how did I know? Suppose that was going to be our last paycheck. So,
yeah,
anyway, I mean, you know, I'm trying to get her to listen to me and all this stuff, but man, it has been one hell of a couple of weeks. I lost my job, the economy's going down the toilet, I got all these crystals that really ain't working the way I want them to, my wife's chakras are totally out of alignment, it's like looking at a map of I-95, and my dog got ran over, I just don't know what to do.
It sounds like the classic country song. I'm really sorry about that.
Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, I'm just trying to keep a positive outlook on all this stuff. But, man, I tell you what, my wife is a force to be reckoned with when we ain't got no money around the
right.
house. I mean,
well,
I'd rather check into a shelter.
Sure, that's understandable. Well, there are definitely still some solutions you could try. I don't know if you've already made it to the last resort yet, but I don't know if you've looked into energy balls.
Now what are those? Hang on, I gotta write this down. Let me get a pen. Hey,
actually,
well,
energy
balls.
Exactly, they work.
Is that
really
one
well.
Word?
Yeah, it works really well. You just put it into the glass of water that you're drinking every day. I mean, we all have to drink 8 glasses of water per day as we're functioning, living mammals.
Oh, shoot, I'm lucky if I drink 8 beers. Now, will it work if I'm drinking it in a Michelob or something like that?
You know, I think it does work even in PBR, so...
Oh, right, that's good, because PBR is cheaper than Michelob, and let me tell you something, we are trimming costs around this house. I mean, good Lord. But I tell you, as long as it doesn't ruin the fizz, I mean, I try drinking it if you think it'll work.
You know, I'd give it a shot, as long as you have the faith. But, you know, this actually reminds me of this really corporate infrastructure that's developing around all of these new age products these days. You know, it's, I mean, I don't know where they get off getting the rights of people, and yet where's the moral obligation?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, because I was trying to talk to some of the boys down at the work site before I got canned about this, and of course they didn't want to hear. They just want to talk about John McCain and Sarah Palin all week. But I told them, I said, look, guys, I said, you cannot commodify spirituality, all right? I mean, you can buy all the crystals you want and all these books, and you can get yourself massages and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, I guess those things work. But, I mean, good Lord, I mean, I'd like to think that spirituality is free, because, I tell you what, God knows I was trying to get away from that offering plate on Sundays, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all of this, like, picture of the world, especially about the economic situation, it makes me think about the karmic effect. You know, the it's strange the way the economy works. Like, the unfortunately we see these effects everywhere, you know, that I may discover that a certain moon crystal has particularly potent spiritual effects, and suddenly it will be very difficult for the average spiritual practitioner to acquire these moon crystals, and it's really unfortunate. But the result of a lack of confidence in the spiritual market causes a dearth of spirituality.
Oh, that's man, weird. Now that's interesting. Man, WTF, dude, where do you come from? I mean, you have got the greatest ideas. I have missed this advice over the past couple of weeks. I got to call in more often. It's too bad your show's only once a week. But that is just the best thinking about this entire situation I've come across the past couple of weeks. I tell you what, you try reading, like, what is that, CNN.com and all that nonsense? Shoot, man, you think the whole sky was getting ready to fall in. Hey, hang on just a second, guys. Honey, I told you, I'm on the phone.
Damn it,
all right, just give me a minute.
Damn it,
sorry.
Get off the fucking show.
Sorry about that, guys. I'm trying to keep my wife down. Anyway, so where were we? We were talking about the economy and whatnot. Yeah, I mean, if we're going to use that analogy, does that mean, like, Alan Greenspan's going to be, like, the Dalai Lama or something?
Well, I see, that's the problem, right? The leaders in the economic world are not necessarily there because they are spiritually enlightened or they have reached some sort of discipline within themselves that has brought them this strength, but it is sometimes because they have managed to weasel their way up some sort of hierarchy, and it's this lack of spirituality at the top and lack of humanity that results in a system which is fragile.
You know, it's interesting. You may even walk down the street and you'll see Alan Greenspan in the Waffle House, and you never know what could happen next.
Oh, now that's funny you mentioned that, because after I got my last paycheck a couple weeks ago, the wife and I went out to that Waffle House, and man, I will tell you what, sitting over in the corner off of one of them booths was this little old wrinkled man, had a face look like a prune that just shot out of the back of, well, you know what. And I swear, the guy looked just like Alan Greenspan. I mean, I was thinking about approaching him. I thought, well, shoot, honey, I mean, the man's got to eat too. Maybe give us some economic advice. But it just wound up being some old wino that was stinking the place up. I'd forgotten he hung out around there after 2 a.m. Oh, Lord, I just don't know what I'm going to do in this kind of economy. I mean, there ain't a job to be had. And, of course, if you're going to try to get on welfare or anything, you got to have kids. And God knows I ain't going to even try to go there with my wife. I mean, we're doing the food stamps thing, and that's helping us get by food-wise, even though it kind of stinks. But let me ask you a question. I know you guys were talking about food a little bit earlier in the show. Now, do you think eating bad food can affect your spiritual outlook on the world?
Well, my personal belief is that you are what you eat, and you eat what you are.
Uh-huh.
And, I always try to eat good food and to be eaten by good food.
Well, I have to tell you, my friend, that's a scary thought, because if that is the truth, then I'm nothing more than a bottle of PBR and a bunch of hamburger helper.
Well, it's better than a Jimmy Dean.
Man, I can't even afford Jimmy Dean sausage. You know, that stuff ain't even government subsidized. I can't even get it on my food stamps. They want me to eat, like, celery and all that stuff, which just, God, I can't even stand the taste of it.
Yeah, I concur there. I really find celery to be somewhat offensive in flavor.
You say celery offensive in flavor?
In flavor. Yeah, but I really don't know about the effect of, impure vegetables spiritually. But certainly when it comes to eating meat, I know many modern thinking, forward-minded practitioners of the New Age will, avoid meat altogether. But my view is really that there is such a thing as good meat, meat that comes from a spiritual animal that was raised in a reasonable environment and slaughtered in a humane way. And
well, shoot, I mean, I know they got that, like $200 hamburger you can buy up in New York that's
right,
mixed with that Japanese beef that they massage for 3 years before they hacked it up. I mean, I ain't gonna pay $200 for no hamburger. I mean, I'm crazy, but I ain't stupid.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, one other alternative you can try if maybe you're, I don't know, what do we say, an environmentalist on a budget, is if you look at, say, grass-fed beef. In that case, you're only looking at $25, $35 per quarter-pound hamburger, which actually isn't so bad these days.
Well, I guess not, but Lord, that is going to take a bite out of the pocketbook. I mean, we're going to have to probably use a lot less than them recipes we use that my wife gets off of that Betty Crocker cookbook she's been using for 20 years. Lord.
Yeah.
I know, man. Times are tough. I mean, I just don't even know what to think anymore about all this. I mean, I guess the real test of anybody's spiritual outlook is going to be when they're running in on tough times. But, man, I'm just sick of this. I mean, it's like everything that can go wrong has been going wrong. You know, my wife and I are fighting. The crystals ain't working. I spent $100, which wound up being my last bill on them. The dog got ran over. I got bills coming due. Thank God we're renting, because I wouldn't even want to think about the mortgage hell I'd be in right now if I tried to own this ridiculous roach-infected place. I mean, I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, sometimes I just feel like giving up on all this spiritual stuff. I mean, y'all think I should go back to the church or something?
You know, that's a good question. Actually, Mr. Hydrox really does have... He's dealt with these issues before, and particularly his ventures into, I guess, herbal therapies in contrast to these various spiritual problems and chakric problems that we're all having these days in the economy as it stands.
Well, I don't know where y'all live, but where I come from, herb, if you know what I mean, is illegal. That is a controlled and illicit substance. But Lord knows I smoke plenty of it in my day.
Well, Randy, we would certainly not promote any illegal activity on our show. But...
Oh, are you talking like herbs, like the ones you grow?
Yeah, like...
I'm sorry.
Rosemary's or mint or... I especially like... anise seed.
Yeah, chamomile, whatever it is that you feel like you're resonating most with.
Yeah, and a related herb that may help you in this time, and it's especially plentiful, but I find people often ignore it as a vegetable, is the dandelion.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. I mean, Lord, I don't know. This economy is just making me crazy. Sometimes I think we should just give it up and just start all over again, have like some kind of revolution or something like that Thomas Jefferson wrote about. But to be totally honest with you, I was talking to this woman one time who wound up being some kind of like, I don't know what she said, like clinical therapist, or I don't know what she said, some newfangled word. But anyway, she was talking about the fact that her whole idea of money is that it ain't exactly cash in the way that, like, you and me think about it. It's more like green energy. She's like, it's a form of energy. That's the way you need to think about it. And I don't know, man. I mean, the conversation kind of ended abruptly, but that was some, I don't know, that was some pretty far out stuff. I've been trying to wrap my head around it, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, can money be a form of energy? I mean, it's just dirty paper.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. It really looks like we should turn our economy back around into, say, more of a trade and barter system. You know, that way we are able to place forth our needs first. You know, whether that's you need an amethyst this week, or maybe you need barley for the Sunday Sabbath meal. I mean, all these things are options, and you're able to really understand what your needs are rather than what your wants.
Well, man, that's a good point, because I tell you something. When I was just a young buck back in the 80s, listening to that Ronald Reagan, make you forever burn in hell, to listen to all that, oh, government bad stuff, this, that, and the other, man, that was the craziest stuff I ever heard in my life, cutting everybody's benefits like that. Shoot, I mean, that's like turning my wife loose with a credit card down at the Walmart. I mean, let me tell you something. If I am going to be some kind of metaphor or something like that for the government, I mean, I am going to be regulating that kind of spending. And it is the same thing with this crazy old economy. I'm just so tired of this stuff. I mean, I don't know if it's paper or energy or what it is, but, I mean, we have got to energize some bank accounts up in here.
Well, yeah, I really appreciate the analogy to energy because, you know, although cash is paper and coins and, you know, pieces of metal, money is in so many various forms. You know, there's a house or a car, and all of these are also money,
right?
Or a company. Well, likewise, energy is, you know, everywhere around us in many, many forms. There's batteries, there's light, there's heat, there's if I'm particularly meditative, and
right,
you know,
there's happiness,
there's the Omega Link, there are all these energies, and although, you know, with a lot of concentration I might be able to, you know, convert one form of energy like heat into another form like happiness, there is a loss of energy, and it's a, you know, complicated procedure similar to selling a house.
Convert it into heat and energy. Good Lord, I need you to convert it into some $100 bills. I mean, shoot, I got heat coming out of my ears. Well, we needed some cash down here, but I don't know. I guess I shouldn't get too, what's the word, preoccupied, as my old doctor used to say, with money. I
mean, in some culture, the conversion is done through sacrifice.
They what? Sacrifice. What are they sacrificing?
Like, they, if they have, like, bad energies or bad time, they will sacrifice a chicken or a lamb for the spirits.
Lord, I can't sacrifice no chickens. I gotta go wring their necks so I'm gonna have food for the weekend. What are y'all trying to do to me here?
Well, in some cultures, sacrifice is only taking the life of the animal, but afterwards, you know, you can do whatever you like. You could eat it if you're hungry.
No, you don't have to eat it, actually. You don't eat it. You should distribute it for the poor and needy.
Randy is poor and needy, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, poor and needy right there. I mean, I'll sacrifice it all day as long as we can still deep fry it on Sunday.
Right, absolutely. Or broil it. I like it broiled.
I mean, I guess. It ain't got no flavor if you broil it. I mean, unless you get one of them, like, Burger King frame broiled things, whatever that is, BK broiler. Man, I used to eat those all day long. Those are good if you were drunk.
Well, it's really about the herbs again, you know, Randy. So, like you throw on a nice garlic. Garlic is a wonderful herb.
2 days ago in my neighborhood, people were dressed in white and they were sacrificing chicken and they were, like, giving them to anybody that wanted.
Where?
Have you seen it in your neighborhood?
No.
2 days ago.
What were they doing that for? Is that for,
I
like
think
that?
It was just
what is that holiday? That Ramadan or whatever it is?
No, I think it's a Jewish one.
Oh, Jewish holiday. Oh, I don't know much about Jewish holidays.
Are you sure that it wasn't a sacrifice to help the economy?
That's what I was confused. I thought it was for the economy. Then I figured out that it's for the economy and for the holidays.
So it's like a double sacrifice.
That's right. That's great when you can really hit both. Two birds, maybe.
Cleansing and, you know, getting the bad energies away.
Hey, now I had a thought. What if I sacrificed a chicken, held on to it after the fact so we could cook it up, and then put herbs on it when we deep fried? That'd be killing like three spiritual birds with one stone, figuratively speaking.
Well, it sounds like an excellent idea to me, Randy. It's really economical, so to speak.
Man, my wife can get behind that because she'd be like, look, I don't know what kind of spiritual crap you're doing in the backyard, but you sure cook up some good chicken, baby.
Right, and when she can say that, you know, at least you have a warm home to go.
Lord, that might be the happy medium. Man, I tell you what, I think your guys just saved my marriage for this weekend. That is a fantastic idea. And the best part about it, too, is it's practical. I mean, I think spirituality needs to be practical. What do y'all think?
Of course, you know, we all have to live. Randy, stay with us. We have another caller.
Will do.
Caller 4, you're on the air.
Yeah, Arthur here. Louis Bonte.
Rainbow Beam.
Hey, really excellent show. Really enjoying it.
Thank you for calling in, Arthur.
Yeah.
Hey, Rainbow dude.
Yeah, glad to be here. I just wanted to call in with a little weekly report. I'm on a pretty interesting odyssey here.
Yeah, please tell us where you are right now.
Yeah, well, I'm in New York City. I'm in Chinatown, and with these people who have a really interesting idea. It's a personal finance management. You enter in your information, you know, you put in the banks you're using, put in your credit cards, all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they...
In a school next to us, I think they just started to offer spiritual finance.
Yeah, I don't know if it has a spiritual element. It does some kind of machine learning and, you know, churns the numbers and...
Maybe this will help the economy.
Yeah, maybe this would help the economy tell you what to invest in.
Man, that sounds like fun. My dad went to one of them about, I don't know, like 2 or 3 years ago. He paid like $5,000 for some course called The Future Is Now. I called him up too. I was like, Dad, what did you learn at that thing? He said, well, the future is now.
Yeah. You know, one important thing is that it has 12 steps.
Yeah, well, I don't know about this. This is more like you plug the information in, and this is in Chinatown, you know, like at the center of business. You know, like everything goes in and out of here. You plug in the numbers, you pull a lever, and just let it crank, and it'll, you know, instantly, or, I mean, you know, like thousands of iterations in the computer, it'll tell you what's going on. It'll tell you that you're overspending on your, like your, you know, your DVD budget. You shouldn't be buying that many, or you should invest in, you know, shoestrings.
Wow, that's great. It really sounds like something we need to put in the hands of more people. That's what it sounds like.
But like, if there were a similar software or a similar mechanism for telling the meditator where they should focus their spiritual energy.
Oh, sorry.
Huh? Yeah, and you know, it's kind of like health insurance also is just so flawed. I mean, like the idea makes plenty of sense if everybody puts their chips in the same pile. You know, you're not going to have problems in the group, so the group kind of supports itself, right?
Yeah, right.
I really don't understand where the profit goes wrong, and you just, you know, all these co-payments and everything, and we need some kind of automated software to fix that.
Put some herbs on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. We were just speaking with Randy about a three metaphorical birds with one stone, and that's at least the route that he's planning to take for this weekend, and I guess that he's going to report back to us come next week about how that might have solved some of his troubles.
Oh, yeah, man. I'll let you know. Shoot, I'll try to copyright it, too. That'd probably be better than the Colonel's chicken. Now, you said you're up in New York in Chinatown. I always thought that was a movie. You mean that's an actual place?
Yeah, it's a movie also, and then White China and all that stuff. White Horse.
Now, would you consider Chinatown to be a spiritual place? Because I ain't ever been there, and I ain't even been to New York.
Well, I don't know. I think it is potentially a spiritual place lying dormant, because there sure are an awful lot of shiny trinkets on the street, and it just, you know, people seem medicated when you walk around. And this place I'm in, I thought it was a neon sign store, but it's really personal investment, strategy, and advice.
You know, that's interesting.
And I think there's spiritual potential. I think, you know, you always find it in the unlikeliest places, right?
Right. And actually, there was one parallel that I noticed. Some of the most devout practicers that I know these days really do make it a practice of getting up early to enjoy their spiritual meditation. And one thing I noticed while I was in Chinatown last 6 years ago is that you'd see all of the old folk up at maybe 4 a.m., 4:30, right before the crack of dawn. And so I really feel like maybe it's a vitality that they already possess, and perhaps the older generations, I don't know if they still have it, or maybe it's something that we're losing today.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if you're all aware, but there is a law called Wolf's Law. Are you all familiar with Wolf's Law?
I ain't ever heard of it.
Wolf's Law is a law on bone growth. And the law says that whatever bone you put more stress on, that is to say, whichever bone you use the most, the stronger it will become. And there is a corollary, which is that if you don't put stress on the bone, it becomes weaker.
Okay, and what's the corollary for investing money?
Well, my belief is that if you don't use money, or use spiritual energy, or use your vitality, and so on, then you will lose these things. You have to exercise, just like you would exercise a bone. There is also a law called Johnson's Law for muscles, which is the same law that is, it's a related law for muscles.
Well, because I've heard of a karate master who strengthened his fist by repeatedly breaking it against a tree. Just repeatedly smashing it into the tree, and then I think there's some science behind it. The bones grow back, and with the thicker, you know, calcium deposits in the bone.
Did you say coronary? I mean, I tell you what, y'all gotta be careful, because you're gonna be walking a fine line between creating a spiritual investment and then turning it into a spiritual casino. I mean, come on, y'all.
Yeah,
we all have to be careful not to cross those lines.
I mean, I tell you what,
we want to go look up for spiritual death.
Spiritual death, boy, that doesn't sound too good. That sounds like my life over the past couple of weeks. But I guess I'm somehow resurrecting.
Yeah, well, that whole smashing your fist against the tree, that sounds sort of like, you know, the televangelist that asks you to make a faith pledge where you put like $1,000 down on the line for God and then the money comes back tenfold.
Well, I mean, I hate to sound like a Debbie Downer, but I tell you what, the only way you're going to get me out back to be punching a tree is if it owes me money. Lord.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, those are really wonderful suggestions. And, you know, Arthur, every time you have a chance to call in and report from the field, you know, you're in the thick of things there. It really helps reattach us back to ourselves and back to nature, whether that's an urban jungle or, you know, whichever nature that is that we're in right at the moment.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, well, I'll be calling back from the field in the future.
Well, yeah, thank you for contacting us.
Thanks, dude.
Nabim.
Namaste.
Maasalama.
Well, I guess the show's getting ready to wrap up, huh?
Yeah, almost, Randy.
It's actually more that time is closing in rather than we're trying to wrap up the show. It's almost like a continuum, you know? It's a solid sine wave that has a frequency of just about once per week. And, you know, every once in a while we're on the upturn, and in the meantime we're negative, but we're still oscillating.
Oscillating? What does that mean exactly? Like vibrating or something? Didn't we talk about this last time? Like vibrating and resonating and all that?
You know, it depends what coordinate system you're trying to use. You could map yourself out on a plane, or, you know, maybe you just want to spin around in circles. Both of them, you can tangentialize.
Right now, I need to coordinate myself on my checkbook because, my Lord, we are so tight on cash. Goodness gracious, I tell you what, my wife's so irritated and teed off right now. Stick a lump of coal underneath her right armpit and you're going to have a diamond in about 2 weeks.
That's great. That's wonderful. Hopefully that'll work out. And yeah, you know, one of the great things is that I feel like you're really able to speak for a large percentage of Americans out there today. And I think that's nice that not only do we have a chance to connect the nodal points into some sort of a circle tonight, but we also have a chance to cross-represent. And so I think as just one person in this large circle we are here, I'd like to say thanks for your participation.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it. I'm going to go have a cigarette, probably see if I can't rustle up some chewing tobacco.
Well, thank you again so much, Randy, for calling, and thanks to all our callers. We are Music for Human Beings, WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. I would also like to thank our hosts, Lester Woods.
Good evening.
And Captain Hydrox.
Good evening, everybody.
I am Addictor Jalis Sakran. We will be back 7 p.m. Friday night. Thank you for Music for Human Beings. Stay tuned for Night Owl.
Safety.
Number one,
cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two,
look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three,
cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four,
cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Now, brothers and sisters, good day. Sit down, how you doing? I hope you're doing fine. Because I would even make you mad if I would tell you.